This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the new media production studios designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are TikTok and not a Hong Kong protest video one on the service. The power of censorship. LastPass patches a serious security bug. Amazon and their product lineup in the search for products and their advantage they have for their in-house products. Libra, Facebook's ongoing attempt to rule the world. I want to welcome you to episode 1395 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, September 16th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. We are live up, folks, everywhere. We are live tonight. Everything seems to be working. So definitely check us out at geeknewscentral.com/live. Live.geeknewscentral.com. We're on Facebook, really. We are where you are. We're on Twitter. We're on Twitch. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube Live, but join the chat room. And if you're on Facebook, make sure you say hello, check in, comment on the show tonight. Definitely appreciate that. But if you're a brand new listener to the show, I want to welcome you. Welcome to the podcast. Doesn't matter if you're listening or watching. You're part of our family here. Definitely get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're over there, we want you to get subscribed to the show, whether it be Apple Podcasts, on Android, email, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, or the old school RSS feed. Get it right there. Definitely check it all out at geeknewscentral.com. While you're on the website, subscribe to the newsletter. I send that out immediately following every show. It's a great way to stay connected with the podcast. And of course, you can listen to this show on blueberry.com, or you can listen on your smart home device by saying, using the keyword to activate the device and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. You can join our chat room, our Mastodon chat room at geeknews.chat. And of course, the screen is a little bit behind. Got to figure that out. There it is. Those of you watching, geeknews.chat is a place to go to get involved. Add yourself an account over there, or all you have to do is send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com, and I'll add you to our Slack channel. You can follow me on Twitter at geeknews, or of course on Facebook. Our partner shows include, and these are all linked at geeknewscentral.com, GNC Week in Review by Kirk Corliss, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site at progear.guru, the New Media Show at newmediashow.com, and Podcast Legends. Of course, you can always pick up Ohana Gear at cafepress.com/Ohana Store. This show, of course, is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. We want to make sure that you save as much money as you possibly can when you're looking for a new domain name, whether you're looking for a hosting service. Really, GoDaddy's got everything. As a matter of fact, tomorrow, there's a big announcement, and they sent me a video link. I don't know if this is a private or public stream, but they're announcing a whole new line of products, I think. So I'm excited about that. I'll be watching the GoDaddy announcement tomorrow. But you can save a lot of money. And all you have to do is use my promo codes, whether it be at $499.com, whether it be 30%, yes, 30% off new product purchases, $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. Those are two of the best deals on the internet right there. The 30% off new product purchase is a great savings as well. Of course, you can get a free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans for a month. Again, all these codes can be yours to use, and we want you to use them. Very important that you do so at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's where you find all the savings. That's where you lock in savings. Grab my promo code, use it at checkout, or click the link, but make sure the code is applied when you get to the checkout, all right? Just look deep there and make sure. And sometimes what'll happen, if you select a hosting account plan, it'll automatically try to have you do a 3-year subscription. Now, that's really the best savings you can lock in right away. It's $12 than the regular per monthly cost for the next 24 months. But if you just want to experiment, you want to try a new site, you want to try putting something up, you're just playing around, that is an easy way to just select a year. You get that first year for $12. Definitely look at what the recurring cost is going to be after the first year. And there's several layers of plans that you can pick. And then do a little research. Make sure you pick the right plan for yourself. Some of the hosting plans allow you to have more than one domain associated with it. So you can put up 2 or 3 sites for that same monthly fee. So definitely check all my promo codes out again at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Share those codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. Help promote the show here by using those codes. Anytime you refer a friend, it is just like writing a check to the Geek News Central podcast. And if you don't want to do that, become an insider. Well, anyway, we want to thank GoDaddy for their longtime sponsorship here of the show and their continued support. It's only possible because you all continue to make it happen month after month. Let me tell you a little bit about what's going on here, what has happened, what's new. And I tell you, it's been an interesting few days. Did the show on Thursday night. We had huge, huge live streaming challenges. Don't know what was going on there. The internet was acting a fool. And I did some tests earlier today and everything seems to be up and running. So that's a miracle in itself that everything's good. So I'm happy about that. But so everything's up and running. But I flew out Friday for Los Angeles. And I got in about 2:30, caught an Uber to the hotel. Got in, traffic was horrible in L.A. Reminded me of Hawaii traffic. So I got to the hotel about 3:30, did a quick shower, turn around, and got over to the venue about 5. And the venue that they had this event at was over in the Garment District. I stayed at Checkers Hilton in the Financial District, about really 5 minutes away. But when I walked into this venue, I was just like, am I in an oven? This venue had like 2 wall air conditioners, lots of windows where the sun was magnifying the heat inside the venue. And I just about melted. And so did the 100 or so other people that showed up that evening. It was that event, and it was a running joke to see who had the biggest sweat stain. So here is a little advice. If you're ever going to run an event, if you're ever going to be in a venue, you go there and make sure that they can keep the place cool. It was miserable. I wanted to say it was hotter than hell itself for the day and a half. I'm glad I packed some extra shirts and actually underwear because, you know, you think, oh, I can last a whole day, right? By 5 o'clock when I went back to the hotel, it was done anyway, but Saturday I was going to go out and have some dinner. I just couldn't do it. I had to take everything off and shower and change and then, wow. But anyway, I'm glad I packed a little extra clothes or it would have been a stinky ride back from Los Angeles. So, but anyway, my keynote was well received. I think it probably, in my opinion, and I'm just a little biased, I think it was the best session of the event, but you know, that's me. I've got lots of compliments on it, lots of emails. I'm going to be giving that same presentation during an International Podcast Day on either the 29th or 30th of September. But anyway, flew back Sunday, got into the house about 6:30. Just basically did a whole bunch of stuff in the house. Got here this morning, slammed. Today was just slammed, slammed, slammed. I was busy all day. But here's something interesting. It's really the first day in the studio that I haven't touched furniture, paint. I haven't had a drill in my hand. I'm actually, I think, at 100% done for now. The only thing that I did do is a UPS arrived for some additional computers in the editing room, and I hooked that up. That was it. So I'm pretty jazzed to be in this position. I had a very high productive day of meetings and Raw Voice Blueberry business. So it was good. But anyway, so that's all done. Now I leave Thursday morning for Columbus for a week. So I drive out Thursday morning. Thursday night show will be audio only from Columbus. Monday, we're having a big part of our team come into Columbus. So I don't know if there's going to be a Monday night show at this point. I'm leaning towards probably no, and it really kind of screws up the timing of hitting 400, but I'm going to have pretty much the entire team there. So I just don't think so. So this may be the last show before Thursday of next week when I'm back here in the studio, but then things get even more nuts. And we should do a show Thursday, Monday, and then I'm going to be in Columbus for an extended period, so probably only audio for a couple of weeks. Maybe I'll take a couple of shows off. I don't know. But anyway, that's what's going on here. And so I'm pretty jazzed where we're at. But again, October is just got my thumb on me in a big, big way. And it's going to be nonstop through the end of the month, maybe where things will, I think, will breathe back into a normal semblance of stuff going on here. But anyway, the studio's built. It may be empty, but it's built. Let's talk, get in the tech stuff. Let's get in the stack. And if you're watching on Facebook, make sure you say hello. Check in, please. One thing that is kicking my butt is the difference in video color between camera 2 and camera 3. So if you see camera 3, definitely not the same as camera 2, but camera 1 is almost the same shade. It's not in the budget. But what I need is I need a third camera that matches the first two. And it may come to a point where I just use two cameras because it just looks so weird when I switch to this other one. The color's different. I just can't match it. It's just because it's a different camera. So anyway, that's the only thing I'm really unhappy with at this point. But let's talk about a company called TikTok. And probably those of you that have got iPhones, you probably have never heard of this company whatsoever. TikTok comes pre-installed on a lot of Android phones, and it's a video editing tool that is widely popular in Asia. I mean, it is huge. I mean, huge. And if you search for hashtag Hong Kong on Twitter, that reveals a vast, vast number of protest videos, memes, imagery from hundreds of thousands of pro-democracy marchers who have braved the police crackdown. But if you look at if you do the same search on for Hong Kong on TikTok, again, it's a short video app, but it's a Beijing-based tech giant. And this app has gone pretty viral. It's even used quite a bit here in the United States, but it's completely different. And of course, for the Chinese government, being this is a Beijing company, under the thumb of the red communist Chinese, I love to throw that out there and remind people, all they see is playful selfies, food photos, sing-alongs, with barely a hint of unrest in sight. So TikTok is beloved by teens and has been downloaded more than 110 million times across the United States as well. And the app has become China's most successful social media export abroad with 1.3 billion global users. Celebrities are using the app, including New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, whose first video post, a season opener supercut posted Tuesday, set to rapper Young Thug's Hot, coincided with TikTok's new multi-year marketing deal with the NFL. TikTok is ranked among the most downloaded apps for the last 18 months. U.S. viewers have spent more than $37 million the last 2 years on virtual coins for their favorite creators. But this app could prove, and what I'm seeing is being one of China's most effective weapons in global information and censorship. TikTok's limited comments about the content it removes and its purported independence from censors in Beijing is telling. Well, someone in the chat room, Nancy says Gary V is pushing TikTok. It's going to growl. Skip, hey, how you doing? Travis, hello? But here's the problem. You know, maybe most people in the United States don't give two rips. Let's be frank. The average teenager has no clue what's going on in Hong Kong. They have, I would suspect Tom Brady doesn't as well. You know, why were we going to support a company that is censoring videos that the public is of its users are putting up? I think it's just inevitable that this is what we would expect, right? And of course, most Americans don't care because they're doing, you know, stupid selfie videos. And they could care less what's going on in Hong Kong. So they're going to continue to use the app. TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, sent a statement that U.S. user data is stored domestically and that app content moderation policy in the U.S. are led by a U.S.-based team, not influenced by the Chinese government. ByteDance reportedly declined to make executives available for on-the-record interviews. In its statement, the company defended TikTok as a place for entertainment, not politics, and said its audience gravitates there for positive and joyful content as a possible explanation for why so few videos relate to sensitive topics such as the protest in Hong Kong. The company declined to provide details on how the app is policed in the United States or how the U.S. team shields itself from being influenced by authorities in Beijing. Where ByteDance is headquartered, officials in the Chinese embassy did not respond to requests for comment. And this is all in the Washington Post. Free speech is not always free if the app is being controlled and is run by a company in Beijing. Now, many of you, again, I'm sure you don't care, but my personal preference is I will not. We've already got enough censorship issues here in the United States. We have Facebook community guidelines. Watch me be taken off Facebook here. We have Twitter guidelines. And having sat in on multiple sessions and multiple conferences and hearing people of color, LGBTQIA, talk about being censored, not just quote unquote conservatives, but voices being censored on apps and community standards set against groups on a variety of platforms that have, in a sense, taken their voice away. And many people will scoff and they will say, oh, that's not true. Well, I've been sitting in enough events over the past month to hear the same thing coming up from different people in different parts of the country. And that's just part of the bigger, broader issue. So I think as creatives, people that are out here creating content, we, once again, have to understand the power of podcasting and the power of RSS and what it allows those of us that control our own sites, control our own feeds. Sure, we use these tools. We use Facebook. We use Twitter. I have no issue promoting and having people use that. But I also, everyone that listens to this show knows that Moonbase Alpha is at geekandcentral.com. And if I'm ever pulled from the air, you know where to come find me, right? So we rely a lot on these apps for self-gratification. I do it myself. But it makes you wonder, right? Is the Chinese government applying pressure to this company to remove political type videos off its app? Love to hear your comments, geeknews@gmail.com. How many of you use LastPass? I do. I've been using it for a couple of years. I pay for it. So it's pretty, this is the second time that LastPass has patched something. They patched a bug that could have exposed our passwords. And if you use LastPass, you make sure that you update to the latest version. Now, that normally happens in our browsers automatically. But you want to make sure that you're running 44.33.0. And they did this patch on September 12th. Security researcher Tavis Ormadi of Google's Project Zero notified LastPass of the bug. The flaw could have allowed hackers on malicious sites to access users' credentials entered on the previous site. Fortunately, there's no reason to believe the bug was exploited. And while it only impacted Chrome and Opera browsers, LastPass patched all browser extensions. And again, this isn't the first time they've done this. I tell you, I put a lot of faith in LastPass. I really, really do. Now, what I am finding here, living in Michigan, is that one-day delivery of stuff from Amazon is pretty enticing. I hate going to Walmart, although I ordered something on Walmart's app the other day. We talked about that on the show, last show. Myers is another place that I shop at here, and it's Myers is basically a similar type of store to Walmart where they have groceries and goods. But that's the extent of my, in this community where I'm living, that's the extent of my shopping options. There is no Best Buy. There's no Staples. A lot of the office stuff that I need, you know, it's, I have to drive 40 miles. And I've done that a few times. The closest Costco is 36 miles one way. A Sam's about the same distance. So I'm using Amazon a lot. And, you know, like I needed to order some rice. Yes, Japanese rice. Because you're not going to get Japanese rice here in Michigan. No, you're lucky to find Ben and Jerry's on the shelf. But so, you know, I've been doing a lot of Amazon shopping. And to be honest with you, some stuff is just basic stuff. Tape, pencils, pens, folders. What did I order today? I needed expanding folders to stick documents in. Ordered two of those. And I'm pretty good at trying to look at 9, 10, 15, 20 different items to see which ones I'm going to look at. But oftentimes I'm in a hurry and I pick what Amazon kind of puts up to me first. And then oftentimes it's an Amazon pick. But oftentimes the Amazon pick is an actual Amazon-only product. It's a product that they have in-house. So Amazon is being reported as have tweaking its product search algorithm to favor products that are more profitable to the company. People who worked on the algorithm says the changes could get Amazon own brands a boost. And if Amazon intentionally using search to promote its own goods, it will likely draw more criticism from antitrust regulators. Now, I've often used incognito windows to double check stuff, especially when something costs a little more. But Wall Street Journal sources said the change was made last year and the unpublicized change was contested internally. The move subtly pitted Amazon Seattle-based retail business and its Palo Alto, California-based search team against each other. And these companies, the ones down in Palo Alto, are referred to as A9. And several A9 employees say the retail pressured them to surface Amazon products higher in the search results to make things more complicated. The two teams used to report to separate CEOs, but now both report to retail chief Doug Harrington. Amazon denies it changed its search to factor in profitability or that it changed the way it's ranked search results to favor its products. As any store would do, we consider the profitability of products we list and feature on the site, but it's just one metric and not in any way a key driver of what we show customers. By promoting products that are more profitable, this could push customers toward Amazon in-house products, which I've bought a lot of. Though the search apparently takes on multiple factors, in some cases, third-party and branding products may still be more profitable than its own. And this is going to raise more concern amongst regulators that Amazon has a monopoly here. And antitrust issues could pop up. And I must admit, I've bought Amazon mouses. I've ordered just Amazon paper. Oftentimes it was cheaper than anything else is being offered. So anyway, what say you about this? Hey, I want to show you guys something. Hang on, I got to grab one. The other day I was ordering some stickers for our new show called Podcast Insider. And over at Blueberry. And while I was on there, I thought, well, let me order a few stickers for Geek News Central. So I grabbed one of the icons that Sam Garcia has made for me. And I made some GNC stickers. Now, if you're listening and you want a sticker, or a little minor care package with a couple of stickers in it, send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com with your address, and I'll throw a couple of an envelope, and I'll take care of the postage, and I'll send you a couple of these. And if you are an insider or someone that's made a donation to the show, make sure you tell me that as well, because I'll send you something a little extra as well. With that, just make sure you send me your mailing address. But geeknews@gmail.com is a place to request a sticker for your laptop. And if you listen to the new media show, let me know about that as well. All right, moving on here. See how I threw that in the middle of the show? Nancy says, I heard they give more perks for trademarked products. Yeah, that's probably true. Let's talk about Facebook. You know, I've already commented that I'm not happy about what Facebook is trying to do with their Libra cryptocurrency, but it's going under scrutiny from international banks. Now, Facebook has time to play the long game here. Let's just kind of be frank. They've got the time to, you know, play the regulatory game with these countries, and they have the money to do so. So they're facing a series of questions, this time from international banks inquiring about the company's plan for the cryptocurrency. Reps are meeting Monday with officials from 26 central banks from across the globe, including the U.S. Federal Reserve, according to Financial Times report. The meeting is in Basel, Switzerland, and will focus on the cryptocurrency scope and design. Since Libra was announced in June, government officials and regulators from across the globe expressed their concern. Committees in both the U.S. House and Senate had hearings about it in July. Concern over Libra stands apart from the social media company's mixed record of handling privacy issues. There's also worries about potential volatility, money laundering, and consumer protections. It's really not that at all. It's all about Facebook's desire to rule the world, in my opinion. I really think that's what it's all about. I think they just want to rule the world and take over all the currency. geeknews@gmail.com. Are you going to buy Libra? Are you going to get involved in it? Are you going to buy their cryptocurrency? All right, Yahoo, of all sites, has an exclusive. I don't think I've read a Yahoo news report as an exclusive ever on this show. matter of fact, I didn't even know Yahoo still had a news division that actually did anything. I'm be frank, I really didn't. But check this out. This is pretty amazing. Russia carried out a stunning breach of FBI communication system, escalating the spy game on U.S. soil. And when did this happen? Well, this happened on December 29th, 2016, when then-President Obama announced that it was giving nearly three dozen Russian diplomats just 72 hours to leave the United States. Whoa. And was seizing two rural East Coast estates owned by the Russian government. Aha. Now, as the Russians burned papers and scrambled to pack their bags, the Kremlin protested the treatment of its diplomats and denied that those compounds, sometimes known as dakas, were anything more than a vacation spot for the personnel. But both compounds, at least some of the expelled diplomats, played key roles in a brazen Russian counterintelligence operation that stretched from the Bay Area to the heart of the nation capital, according to former U.S. officials. The operation, which targeted FBI communications, hampered the Bureau's ability to track Russian spies on U.S. soil at a time of increased tensions. This forced the FBI and CIA to cease contact with some of the Russian assets and prompted tighter security procedures at U.S. national security facilities in the Washington area and elsewhere, according to U.S. officials. It even raised concerns among some U.S. officials about a Russian mole within the U.S. intelligence community. It was a very broad effort to try and penetrate our most sensitive operations, said a former CIA official. American officials discovered the Russians had dramatically improved their ability, listen to this, to decrypt certain types of secure communication and successfully track devices used by elite FBI surveillance teams. Official also feared that the Russians may have devised other ways to monitor U.S. intelligence communications, including hacking into computers not connected to the internet. Senior FBI and CIA officials briefed congressional leaders on these issues as part of a wide-ranging examination of Capitol Hill of U.S. counterintelligence vulnerabilities. These compromises, the full gravity which became clear to U.S. officials in 2012. Whoa, in 2012, gave Russian spies in American cities, including Washington, New York, and San Francisco, key insights into the location of undercover FBI surveillance teams and likely the actual substance of FBI communications. Woo! They provided the Russian operatives to potentially shake off FBI surveillance and communicate with sensitive human sources, check on their remote recording devices, and even gather intelligence on their FBI pursuers. Whoa, this is big. So usually when these expulsions happen, we don't often know what the real deal was. But now, a few years later, the news has come out. The old Cold War games of spying, counter-espionage, all that is alive and well. And if you remember, December 29th of 2016, what had we just had? We had just had an election as well. So, my. This is big. We'll see if anybody talks about it. Apple prepares for a $14 billion tax battle in the European Union court. The phone maker will argue against a tax bill that it got in 2016. Of course, fresh off its 2019 iPhone announcement, they're about to challenge this bill. During the two-day hearing, the EU's second highest court, Apple will argue against the EU Competition Commission, asserting that Apple had an unfair advantage that allowed it to pay less tax than it should have in Ireland, where its EU headquarters are located. The country's tax system attracts many U.S. tech companies, and Ireland will stand by Apple's side in court. Two tax rulings granted by Ireland, which have artificially reduced Apple's tax burden, probably Amazon's as well, over two decades in a breach of EU state aid rules. Apple now has to repay the benefits worth up to $13 billion plus interest. So If the opinion is allowed to stand, Apple would pay 40% of all corporate income taxes collected in Ireland, which is unprecedented and far from leveling the playing field. So we'll see how this goes. Another battle with the EU over taxes. You know, come back to America, Apple. You don't have to shelter that cash over there. Come on home. NASA is going to have a probe to fly over India's moon landing site tomorrow. So the low reconnaissance lunar reconnaissance orbiter could provide some energy of the Vikram lander, which has been silent since its September 6th landing attempt. Of course, the Chandrayaan-2 mission descended towards the lunar surface, targeting a site near the South Pole, but mission controllers lost contact with the lander when the craft was just 1.3 miles above the gray dirt, and the lander has been silenced ever since. So I wonder if it just smashed. Getting there is easy. Landing is hard. So NASA's LRO is scheduled to fly over the landing site again tomorrow. And it says the observations will likely make it out into the wider world in short order. Per NASA policy, all LRO data is public available, NASA officials said in a statement emailed to space.com. NASA will share any before and after flyover imagery of the area around the targeted landing area. And we'll see. likely they're going to find a skid mark or a big hole, a new hole. So did you guys order an iPhone 11 Pro yet? I haven't. I'm not due for a refresh until next year. But it appears the midnight green iPhone 11 Pro. Yes, midnight green. Who wants a green phone? Midnight green. And according to some analysts, the iPhone 11 sales are already exceeding expectations, even at $999. My mom was even talking about getting an iPhone Pro. And I said, Mom, they're $999. She has an XR. Do you need a $999 phone? So she's looking at the camera function. She's impressed with the new iPhone Pro's camera. They're claiming it's as good as a DSLR. I'm here to tell you, if you have a Pro DSLR gear, and not even Pro, like a Canon 80D and some good lenses, no iPhone is going to take a better picture than that. But anyway, U.S. consumers want the premium iPhone 11 Pro. While demand for the standard iPhone 11 is greater in China, Apple's trade-in program is apparently pushing people to upgrade too. So they increased, these analysts have increased the 2019 shipment forecast between 65 and 70 million units to between 70 and 75 million units. So we see. But before you rush to pre-order, make sure you're aware of the iPhone 11's model features and consider what they're missing compared to their rivals. Along with fresh color options, the 2019 phones promise longer battery life and, of course, that better camera and the A13 Bionic processor. So we'll see where this leads. Another space article. Lawmakers are proposing renaming NASA's Ohio facility for Neil Armstrong. It's currently now the Palm Brook Station. And lawmakers have introduced a bill, again, to redesignate NASA's Plume Brook Station in Sandusky, Ohio, for Neil Armstrong. And the legislation is co-sponsored by Rob Portman, Republican of Ohio, and Sherrod Brown, Democrat of Ohio, follows similar congressional actions taken 5 years ago that renamed NASA's Flight Research Center in Southern California for the late Apollo 11 astronaut. So, all right, we'll see if we have a second building with his name on it. It should be. There should be more than one. The best smart displays for your home in 2019. Okay, so you have smart devices already. Now it's time for smart displays. And smart speakers are a convenient way to interact with your voice assistant. But we have a number of available at a kind of a pricey point. Amazon Echo Show, $229. The Amazon Echo Spot, $129. These are all devices that have screens on them. The Google Nest Hub Max. What's the price on that? They don't say in this article. Lenovo Smart Display. The JBL Link View. The Amazon Fire HD 8, $80. Why does all these other ones not have a price? Is there a little conspiracy going on here? And then, so you can figure out which one you want. You know, I've got one, and it's, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've got an Amazon Echo Show, the original one. I never use it. It would be used in the kitchen someplace. I look at it, and I see the weather. That's what I see on the screen. I think it's really overrated, these smart home devices with displays. To me, it's just, I don't know. Are you using one? If so, what are you using it for? Love to hear your comments. Geeknews@gmail.com. It's a little early, but maybe you have a son or a daughter that are getting ready to get married. MakeUseOf.com has the 8 best wedding planner apps for the perfect day. And link will be up in the show notes on that. So, if you've got someone that's getting married, or if you're getting married yourself, yeah, there's an app for everything, including wedding planning. It's just more things to make people go crazy. Snapchat releases political ad spending data ahead of the 2020 elections, and they basically dropped the dime on, well, not dropped the dime, but they reported everything. They went through and talked about the 2018 and 2019 political spends, who spent the money, and it's a downloadable spreadsheet. It includes detailed information on who paid for the ads and the demographic they aim to target. I wonder how big that spreadsheet is. I'd love to have someone go through some of these things and just kind of dig out the juicy stuff. I'm sure we're going to hear some articles about it, but the folks at Engadget said a look at Snapchat's ad archive reveals a wide variety of sources, including political campaigns of the president, Beto O'Rourke, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris. Other spenders include Planned Parenthood. So Planned Parenthood was buying political ads. Aren't they partially funded by the government? I'm not 100% sure. Amnesty International also bought ads. Along with Snapchat, both Facebook and Twitter have elected to make political ad spending on their platforms available for public view. Even though Facebook draws most of the digital ad spending, political campaigns are still drawn to Snapchat's young user base and targeted audience filters. Of course, the UK government recently launched a 6-second Brexit ad on the platform that was seen more than 3 million times in a period of 6 days. Prior to last week's Democratic presidential debate, a coalition of big pharma and insurance companies launched an anti-Medicare for All ad campaign on a variety of platforms, including Snapchat. That's an interesting move, isn't it? Big pharma with their big cash. Police officers in Britain are raising concerns about biased AI data. They're really concerned about using biased artificial intelligence tools, a report commissioned by one of the UK government advisory bodies reveals. The study warns such software may amplify prejudices, meaning some groups could become more likely to be stopped in the street and searched. It says officers also worry they could become over-reliant on automation. And I think, you know, we've even had some of our audience members come back and say, hey, you know, people are getting hauled in. There's documented cases where an innocent person's been rolled up a couple of times. The police are concerned that the lack of clear guidance could lead to uncertainty over acceptable uses of the technology, the Royal United Services Institute told the BBC. And given the lack of government policy for police use of data analytics, it means that the police forces are going to be reluctant to innovate. That means any potential benefits of these technologies may be lost because police forces' risk aversion may lead them not to try to develop or implement these tools for fear of legal repercussions. They interviewed about 50 experts for its study, including senior police officers in England and Wales who were not named, as well as legal experts, academics, and government officials. One of the key concerns expressed was about using existing police records to train machine learning tools, since these might be skewed by the arresting officer's own prejudices. They're saying human bias is introduced into the data sets, and bias is then generated in the outcome of the applications of those data sets. Crime prediction software has been adopted by 14 UK police forces, though. As an added fact, the report said people from disadvantaged backgrounds were more likely to use public services frequently, and this would generate more data about them, which in turn could make them more likely to be flagged as risk. You know, in Britain, there's a camera every 5 feet. So I've got a lot of data to track people. Disney CEO Bob Iger resigns from his Apple board seat. And this is kind of an interesting move here. He has sat on the Apple board since 2011. That tenure came to an end this month, according to an SEC filing Apple made on Friday. The filing said that Iger resigned from the Apple's board on September 10th. Dun, dun, dun. The day that Apple announced the pricing and launch date for Apple TV Plus. He released the following statement. It has been an extraordinary privilege to have served on the Apple board for 8 years, and I have my utmost respect for Tim Cook, his team at Apple, and for my fellow board members. Apple is one of the most admired companies known for the quality and integrity of its products and its people. I'm forever grateful to have served as a company member of the company's board. But this is, he runs Disney. Okay, remember this. He's Disney CEO. And what is Disney going to launch? Its own streaming TV service. So how can you, that's why he had to resign. Come on. Little bit of conflict of interest there. How can it not cause a little bit of spillover either way, right? Android TV leak reveals Google Stadia integration and Hero device coming next year. And for those of you that don't know what Google Stadia is, that's their online gaming platform. It's a game streaming service. According to XDA developers, we saw a slide presented by Google at a recent conference. Google has already planned out the key upgrades for Android TV over the next 2 years. This year's planning began allowing device makers to add custom phrases to the assistant, test in menu ads, and launch a Play Store redesign. And next year's plans are much bigger. Support for Stadia, which currently requires a Chromecast Ultra to be used. So probably by 2021, we'll have Stadia integration into Android TV. If you're an Android fan, Google Pixel 4 event is taking place on October 15th in New York City. Google is finally ready to show what the Pixel 4 is all about. You know, the internet giant sent invitations out to see a few new things made by Google on October 15th event in New York City. But you can safely assume the Pixel 4 and 4 XL will be the centerpiece. And one possibility is also a Nest Mini, a smart speaker that would replace Home Mini. So we'll see what happens here on the 15th for those of you that are Pixel fans. Amazon Prime is also coming to Optimum set-top boxes. If any of you own one of those, I've never heard of that company before. It'll be available. What is Optimum set-top boxes? Anyone have one in this audience? If you do, drop me an email. Let me know. It's apparently run by, it's for Suddenlink subscribers using the Altis One platform. Never heard of either of those. There's so many set-top boxes out there. Facebook is rolling out new video tools, plus Instagram and IGTV scheduling feature. Now, this is pretty cool. One of the things that I had to do today was because I was having problems on the last show live streaming. I did about 30 minutes live this afternoon with just, you know, I put a little test thing up. And there's no way to test. You can test YouTube without going live. You can test Periscope and Twitch. You can do all those without having to go live. Where Facebook, you can't test. You can't When you're up, you're up. And this is a big problem for people unless they have a private channel and they've hit it and they try to deal with that. So apparently, my mom has texted me a whole bunch of stuff. We've had some in our neighborhood that I'm living at. There's been some break-ins. So we're going to a higher security stature at the home. And she's pinging me, you know, stuff that to be aware of. So they're going to let publishers can use a rehearsal feature to broadcast live only to page admins and editors in order to test new production setups. Publishers will be able to trim the beginning and end of live video. And live videos will be able to last up to 8 hours instead of just 4. Most notably, perhaps, is the company realizes live broadcasters need to serve their audiences outside of Facebook. Now publishers will be able to use apps that let them stream to more than one streaming service at once by simulcasting via the live API. Well, I simulcast for a long time through Wowza Cloud Service. Apple Arcade is available to some iOS 13 beta users now. Its official launch is only 3 days away, but some of you that have been beta testers have access to that. The FCC has approved Nexstar's $6.4 billion acquisition of Tribune Media. As part of the deal, Nexstar will sell 21 of its channels. This has been a pretty long, drawn-out saga, but finally it's gotten through. Again, Nexstar will sell 21 of its local TV stations, and they will become the biggest local TV broadcaster and local media company in the United States, which is kind of curious. I tried setting up one of those on my TV here in the office. I've got cable, but I wanted to see what was available via over-the-air. Not a single channel I could reach. Of course, again, where my office is at is nowhere near any broadcasting towers, so I'm not surprised. When I was a kid, we had to point it within like 1 degree. The antenna that was on a tower. So things haven't changed in that regard. Alleged JP Morgan hacker set to plead guilty. If you remember, this guy was extradited to the United States. Andre Turin, one of the key suspects in the huge JP Morgan Chase hack in 2014, is set to plead guilty. He's done some sort of plea deal. And he first appeared in U.S. courts in September of last year after he was extradited from the Republic of Georgia. Reportedly, 76 million households and 7 million small businesses details of their companies were obtained in JP Morgan infiltration. And he's accused of playing a key role in a scheme that produced hundreds of millions of dollars of illicit proceeds from the hack on the financial giant and other companies. Scary. He's going to jail. Verizon could carry the OnePlus phones beginning in 2020. It would be the third U.S. carrier to offer OnePlus smartphones. Of course, Verizon and the Chinese manufacturer signed a deal that the phones could arrive in 2020. It's unclear which model would be included, but phonearena.com claims that the OnePlus 7T Pro 5G will be a Verizon exclusive in the United States. Again, this is all hearsay, but given that OnePlus is now available in T-Mobile and Sprint, a Verizon deal wouldn't be entirely surprising. OnePlus is expected to unveil the 7T at North American event on September 26th. Of course, with the U.S. trade war with China, it could put a damper on sales with the 15% tariff that's being applied to Chinese smartphones, adding another $100 to the cost. People are still watching Seinfeld. I never watched Seinfeld when it originally came out, but apparently Seinfeld is moving to Netflix in 2021. He must make a ton of money in syndication royalties. I know we got a few Seinfeld fans. Do you go back and rewatch this stuff? Isn't once enough? Or is it new generations of people watching it? Just a little weird to me. That's all. NASA's has won its second Emmy for Mars landing. Star Trek Discovery wins as well. So NASA won a second Emmy for 2019 in honor of the Space agency's epic coverage of its InSight landing on Mars last year, the space agency received a Creative Arts Emmy for Outstanding Original Interactive Program and its innovative use of news, web, education, television, and social media. How do we get an Emmy for Geek News Central? I'd like to have one of those trophies on my desk back here. That'd be awesome, right? By the way, those of you watching, do you see, if I can point, oh, do you see that? Right there? Where I'm pointing? There's a skull behind that. Those of you that are listening, I was pointing at the mask, the three-piece mask I obtained it at Dragon Con that I posted on Facebook. Motorola is making Android TVs as well. It's taking on the OnePlus India partnership with an e-commerce cert called Flipkart. So Motorola trying to keep itself alive. A lawsuit is targeting Best Buy and Staples for selling pirate devices and giving piracy advice. And this is happening in Canada. This lawsuit claims the companies knowingly sold pirate devices to customers filed by Super Channel owner Alco Entertainment. The suit further alleges that staff gave advice to customers on how to pirate content or have devices modified to do so. While currently unnamed, the lawsuit states up to 50,000 customers could potentially become part of the legal action. The lawsuit filed in federal court. They allege that one of the more of the retailer staff promote, encourage, instructed prospective buyers of internet streaming devices how to use and modify and obtain copyright infringing content. On a website promoting the case, they published a video as part of a 19-month four-story investigation with claims to show employees at defendant companies selling pirate devices in a way that contravenes several aspects of local law. The company says it's 100 hours of undercover recordings to back up his claim. The short video available has recordings of alleged staff members advising users to install Kodi or use Google to find Kodi, set up videos, or even visit other sellers operating elsewhere that will configure the devices for piracy. I don't know what Kodi is. What's Kodi? K-O-D-I. We have to Google that. But anyway, lawsuit going on in Canada. A Google Doodle celebrates B.B. King's 94th birthday. Its animated doodle brings us the blues legend's journey. So very, very cool. Of course, Riley B. King, born September 16, 1925, on the Mississippi Delta Plantation, sung gospel music before moving to Tempest, working on radio station WDIA. He was nicknamed Beale Street Blues Boy after the city icon musical street. Been on Beale Street before. Drank a lot of beer on Beale Street in Memphis. That was when I was young. I think I was only 19 and you could still drink beer. You could drink beer in Memphis or in Tennessee at that time at 19, and it wasn't 3-2 beer, but you couldn't drink hard liquor. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes. Amazon wants to double its locker program over the next year. This move comes as Amazon works to speed up its Prime deliveries and make up for losing FedEx as a shipping partner. And I've actually had to put a new note on the door here because I'm getting packages from the U.S. Mail, and we had not originally planned on having U.S. Mail come to this studio. So I've had to go and register a mailbox and all kinds of other stuff. So to make that happen, I was having them delivered next door, but the post office got confused. What else here? Got a few more. Wi-Fi 6 certification is here to make next-gen speeds a widespread reality, so keep an eye on your phones that are going to be being bought. The Samsung Galaxy S10 Plus and iPhone 11 will have the Wi-Fi 6 logo. Also, MVNOs, you know what those are? Those are resellers of wireless networks. Verizon has got a number of them, and the folks at Android Central have a look at the best MVNOs that use Verizon's network. So if you want to pay less but still be on Verizon's network, folks from Straight Talk, Total Wireless, U.S. Mobile, Xfinity Mobile, Spectrum Mobile, Page Plus Cellular, all are running on basically using Verizon MVO, but you need to make sure you have the right phone with the right frequencies. So those links will be up in the show notes. If you live in Ecuador, my. Database leaks data on most of Ecuador's citizens, including 6.7 million children. Elasticsearch server leaks personal data, their family trees, but also some users' financial records and car information. Car registration information has been shown. So now 20.8 million user records from Ecuador have been hacked. And a lot of data from government sources as well. So family trees, kids' data. Wow. Huge amount of information. So the leaks continue, not only in the United States, but all across the world. Australia concluded China was behind hack on parliament. Political parties were the source of this information. Reuters is reporting that Australian intelligence determined China was responsible for cyber attack on its national parliament and three largest political parties before the general election this past May. Five people with direct knowledge of the matters told Reuters. So the five sources declined to be identified. The report, which also included input from the Department of Foreign Affairs, recommended keeping the findings secret in order to avoid disrupting trade relations with Beijing. The Australian government has not disclosed who it believes was behind the attack. It's going to be simple. You know who it was. The big hacking house in China. That's who did it. So apparently got in pretty deep. Real deep. All the parties had been hacked. My. Not only here in the United States, but in Australia too. If you're riding Uber in New York City, new regulations requiring Uber to limit drivers. And basically, this is going to suck. So Uber on Tuesday will begin limiting drivers' access to its apps in New York City to comply with regulations aimed at boosting drivers' pay and easing congestion in Manhattan. Uber says they will have unintended consequences. They're going to lock out drivers at times, and in areas of low demand comes just months after rival Lyft implemented similar measures. Both companies oppose unprecedented rules, saying that they will prevent drivers from earning money and cut off low-income New Yorkers in remote areas. Time and time again, we've seen Mayor de Blasio, TLC, pass arbitrary and politically driven rules that have unintended consequences for drivers and riders. New York City's Taxi and Limousine Commission last year implemented several laws challenging the way rideshare companies operate in North America's largest city because medallions have plummeted to less than $100,000. They used to be over $1 million. The agency's acting commissioner, Bill Heinzein, in a statement of money, defended the law, saying they held companies accountable and prevented Uber and Lyft from oversaturating a market at drivers' expense. New rules cap the number of app bases for hire of cars and establish minimum pay for the city's 80,000 rideshare drivers. The law also limits time drivers spend cruising, driving to or waiting to pick up new passengers. Starting February, rideshare companies have to reduce cruising rates by 5% and later by 10%, down from 41. Noncompliance can result in fines or even ability to operate in the city. Uber said there's no evidence that show the steps would ease congestion. The company supported a $2.75 congestion surcharge implemented for Manhattan ride trips early this year. Lyft in June changed its app to lock out drivers during low demand. The company said it supports drivers during the change. For example, of showing them areas with high demand or times during which restrictions are lifted. So the times of being able to get an Uber quickly in Manhattan may be coming to an end. All right. Well, that's going to bring me to the end. Where are we at on time? It's a little longer. Yeah, a little longer today. But one thing we're missing. We're missing your emails. GeekNews@gmail.com is the place that you send your comments to, and we want to hear from you, or I want to hear from you. At the same time, don't forget, it's time to step up. If you're not an insider already, geeknewscentral.com/insider. Your $2, $5, $10, $15, or $25 monthly donation goes a long ways. $2, 6.7 cents a day. Come on now, I'm at least worth that, I hope. You can set this up via PayPal, it's reoccurring. We've got lots of Ohana that's on monthly recurring. We've got people as high as $25 on monthly recurring. We've got folks that do one-time donations every year that are oftentimes much more than that. So it's really appreciated for those of you that have become insiders and consider it. So again, it's geeknewscentral.com/insider is the place to go. But I hope you enjoyed today's show. Felt a little bit more like battle rhythm tonight. Everything's going a little bit smoother. And of course, now I'm going to be bouncing out of here and back and forth. So just as I get my muscle memory down, know to look at the camera, have the screen set up right. But anyway, if you are considering becoming an insider, just drop over the website. By the way, Geek News Central is on new hardware. We had not updated servers in about 5 years, and I was unable to upgrade PHP any further, and WordPress required a newer version of PHP. So, Mike, it's amazing what 5 years is in hardware, because my cost have went down considerably, and the processing speed is much, much faster. The publishing part of the site is, really quick. We were still working through a few more bugs. The feed was down for like probably 36 hours. Didn't realize it. Got a notification that it went down. We just didn't set a permission right. But this all happened when I was in California. The team worked on it on Friday and said, "Don't check your site." And I'm like, "I'm in an airplane. I can't check Jack." So anyway, we think pretty much everything's been worked out. Had some plugins that need to be updated, but you probably will notice no difference whatsoever. But my writing team will, and no more bothers to update WordPress because it's been updated, which was a concern in itself. But otherwise, this is what we do here. Great, great content for you. And definitely, if you can't support us with a donation, definitely support the show with a comment in your Facebook post or Twitter, linking back to our sponsor, GoDaddy. That is greatly appreciated as well. All right, everyone, we'll see you on Thursday, audio only, no video. I'll be in the Columbus studio. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Take care. Bye-bye.